Please remain standing, and at this time we will look at our scriptures from the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's taken from the book of Nehemiah, and I want you to look for a similarity of thought in the next one that we have, which will be the New Testament reading. You have these on the back of your bulletins. Let us say them together. Let me find my back page here. Okay. Together. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord commanded Israel. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, where written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that are written. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to deal in a little different way with Scripture this morning. It's true. It's God's Word. And it's just an insight that I would like to share with you. And I speak to our children, and I speak to each one of us today to think about these things. The Word of God. I'm going to take a survey. You don't have to raise your hand, but please do it if you would like. How many here today have read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, good, wonderful. All right. So those of you who haven't, I'm going to give you the challenge today of reading God's Word. Do you know how many chapters are in the Bible? Chapters. I only found it in one Bible. It was a King James Bible, but that doesn't affect the chapters. Same chapters in every Bible number. And somebody did an awful lot of numbers here to come up with what I'm going to show you. In this, we have here in the Bible 1,189 chapters from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's a lot of chapters. If you were to read 3 chapters a day, it would take you about 3.5 years to go all the way through the Bible. Now, here's my challenge for you. Set aside that time a day. Give it back to God and read His Word. Read it from beginning to end. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. God's Word is going to be very precious. Now, in another Bible that I found, and I've only found it in one, and this is not in the Bible part, this is in the introduction to it, is that the question is, how many words are in the Bible? Now, whoever worked this one through, God bless his soul, but how many words are there, for example, in the Old Testament? I have the answer. I didn't do it, but I'm taking his word for it. In the Old Testament, it may vary a little bit, I think, with translations, but from the rough figure that I see here is 592,253 words from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. That's a lot of words. But that's not over. That's just the Old Testament. You add to that the New Testament, and there are only 181,263 words. New Testament doesn't have as many words as the Old. Put the two together, the total number of words in the Bible, and it doesn't have to be King James or one or another, it comes to 673,692 words in the Bible. That's 750,000 words. The Word of God is a big book. It covers so much. And God has so arranged and ordained it that we would benefit from it. Now, that can also be discouraging to us. And I don't want to discourage you about reading the Bible. Start reading the Bible consistently, chapter by chapter. Work your way through. Maybe you'll take a book in the old, then one in the new. It doesn't matter. But keep your record of it and keep persistence in your study and your reading of God's Word. But, you know, that's overwhelming. And many of us have not taken that challenge or thought we wanted to or could do it. Well, you can, and I'm going to encourage you in this today, to take His Word and read it all the way through. But what I want to emphasize today is I'm going to give you an easy start here, so to speak. I'm going to go from the 673,692 words, and I'm going to reduce it to 5 words. Now, 5 words we can handle. We've got 5 fingers, right? We can certainly handle 5 words. 5 words. And these 5 words, each that I'm going to give you, are words that are going to be very special and precious to us. For example, David, when Goliath was threatening the Israelites, he came late to the show, to the battlefield that was there. The Philistines were bragging about everything. The sons of Israel, who were soldiers, were scared to death. David couldn't figure out what all the turmoil was. And then he saw Goliath. And he by himself went down to the brook. And there he very carefully picked up 5 smooth stones. He put them in his pouch where his slingshot was. And he went on up and investigated further what was going on. And he was very upset that Saul had not called for the killing of the giant. And he went up to the giant and he expressed the word of God to him, and he took one smooth stone out of his bag, and there we know the rest of the story. 5 smooth stones. The Bible is full of 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth words. They're not difficult. They're not a lot of big words in the Scripture. And so we see that as the first challenge I want to give you. The second one is this. Not just 5 smooth stones, but 5 smooth words. 5 smooth words. Let me give you an example in what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verses, let's see if I got it right here, 18 and 19. Paul says this, hang on. I thank God, by the way, I asked Jane to put a blank piece of paper in your bulletin. You all have it. So feel free to write these thoughts down as I'm speaking and bring back memories for you. But in the book of Corinthians, Paul says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Quite a statement. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now that's quite a challenge right there. That's quite a statement for him to make. And that brings us to this of 5 smooth words. Five smooth words, not rough. The Bible is full of truths in five words. Let's take, for example, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. That's five words. And I'm not even through with the first verse. But what is in that? We learn of a God who is all-powerful, who can create anything his heart's desire, and who does. And he is a God that we worship and that we are grateful for. And we marvel that in the beginning, God created. Our God is a creator God. And what he creates is magnificent. Now, not through with the verse. The second half of the verse goes like this as we read. I'll read it from the beginning. In the beginning, God created, now here it is, the heavens and the earth. Five words. And what do we have here? We have a double five. A double five. And that is the first verse of the Bible. Having meditated on that myself this week, these five words making 10 words altogether, what about the book of Revelation and the very last chapter? And so I turned to that, and would you believe it? Jesus says, in his red letter, if you've got a red letter Bible, he is speaking and he says in this, surely I come quickly. Amen. Surely I come quickly. Amen. And then again, in that same verse is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The last words of the Bible. And these words are just so simple. But now we have again a double five. The Bible begins with a double five in the first verse, and it ends with a double five in the last verse. Now, this might be different to be seen in different translations the way it's arranged, but the truth is there, and it's something that is just wonderful. Now, I want to get you all excited about this, so get your pencils or pen or whatever out and paper, and I'm going to give you some five-letter words, five smooth words of Scripture that is just loaded with meaning. I'm going to give you examples of great truths in the Bible that are in five words. What about Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. I can hang on to that. It's not hard to memorize. It's not hard to remember. It's not hard to pray through and to make that confession. The Lord is my shepherd. These are wonderful, great truths that we're looking at here. And so you have, if you break it down further and meditate upon it, you'll begin to see the Lord. It's not any Lord. It's the Lord, the Lord. There is no other Lord like this. The Lord is, not was, not I hope so, not maybe he will be, but the Lord is right now. Third word. The Lord is my personal, my shepherd. How comforting. How full of truth for us to claim. Out of the Psalms, the first Psalm, Psalm 23. And this just blows me away. That I don't have to read all the genealogies to get a blessing. God bless you if you get a blessing from all of them. But look for even these small sayings in Scripture that are doctrinally sound and doctrinal coming words coming right from the Scriptures. In John 10, verse 11, John 10, 11, we read, I am the good shepherd. Five words. The Lord keeps it simple for us, keeps it basic. And we need to think and meditate upon it very much. In John 12, verse 21, and this happens to be a King James rendering, Sir, we would see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want others to see Jesus? Well, the Greeks had come hearing about Jesus to the Holy Land from Greece, and they had heard about Jesus and his miracles and his teaching, and they came to Thomas and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And so Thomas took the Greeks who had come to see Jesus. Sir, I would see Jesus. That's John 12, 21. Another one. Behold the Lamb of God. Five words. And I don't want to bore you, so I'm going to move a little faster here. But keep these in mind, and it is by no means a complete list. It's just a good starter list for us. Behold the Lamb of God. And that is in John 3:36. And then, and the Word became flesh. Wow. The Word became flesh. Whoops, what did I do there? And the Word became flesh. Okay, there we go. All right, there are five. And you stop and meditate on that. You think about it. God in Christ became like us. Human flesh. What a God. What a truth. What a revelation that he gives us of himself. In John 3:7, we read, You must be born again. There's nothing else. You must. Don't try to save yourself. Don't try to save it through any other teaching, any other false teaching. Be careful what you read. You must be born again. We know in the context he's speaking to Nicodemus. He's puzzled about this. He can't understand how it can happen. And Jesus is very patient with him. And he says to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. John 3:7. The next one is John 3:16. How about that? God so loved the world. Five words. You know, you can put all these words in your little pocket, in your pouch, like David did with the five smooth stones, and what a victory he had. To take five words, not out of context, but they will stand out, and you will be blessed as you meditate upon God's word. Again, in John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Oh my, books have been written on that. Five words. And how we expand them into an awfully lot, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I emphasize the positive here. Psalm 1:1. Say five words with me. How blessed is the man. That's how the psalm begins. Five words. Are you blessed with God and his word and his salvation and his care for you? Yes, how blessed is the man, the blessed man. In Psalm 107, verse 1, we read, Give thanks to the Lord. Now that's one that we sing every Sunday, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks not just to my neighbor or myself, but to the Lord. Five great truths in five words. Jesus says in Mark 2:5, Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. The man who was lame. John 20:28 says this, when Thomas realizes that Jesus is not just a ghost, but he is a real person, resurrected. And Christ tells him to put his hand into Jesus' side, tells him to. And he says five profound words that we always remember with Thomas, and that he always remembered too, when he said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Careful how you say that. Don't be too lax with it. Don't be too light-hearted with it. Don't swear with it. Realize all of the context of that phrase. My Lord. Is he my Lord? Is he your Lord? That's the issue. That's the thing that we are wanting to get at. And my Lord and my God. Another in 1 John 1:7. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. Oh, how we need that. We need it in our family. We need it in the workplace. We need it in our churches. And this is repeated many times in the New Testament, particularly. Let us love one another. 1 John 1:7. And now 1 Corinthians 15:3. Oh, the power of this. Christ died for our sin. Christ died for our sins. Five words that we hang on to, knowing that in it is our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I think I just gave you that. Yeah, okay. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. The gospel is not to be put underneath a lampstand that can't see the light. It is our calling that we are ambassadors for Christ. Be bold in your faith. Do not hold back. Pray, but speak five words of truth to one that you're wanting to pray for as well as witness to. In another one, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. I looked this up in the concordance, and it's mentioned 42 times in the Bible. What a wonderful blessing. His mercy endures forever. This is not just a passing thing or a religious a trip that we're taking. This is eternal. His mercy endures forever. Now, Johnny, coming to wrap this up a bit, I'm going to give you two words that you know, two words that are very, very precious to us. The first word is grace, God's grace. Marvelous grace. G-R-A-C-E. Each letter builds it into a wonderful, wonderful sentence. As we have God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm going to say it again. Here we go. God's riches at Christ's expense. I think most of you have heard that before. Claim it again. Five wonderful letters. And then the word faith. You know that, don't you? F-A-I-T-H. Five letters. forsaking all, I trust him. Who are you trusting today? Are you trusting the bank? Are you trusting your neighbors? Are you trusting your job and security and everything else? Here it is. Faith. Forsaking all. All else. I'm centered. I'm focused on Jesus Christ. Forsaking all, I trust him. Well, I've got you started. Just started. Okay? This week, I challenge you, even this afternoon, open your Bible. Whatever the translation, don't worry about it. And you will find them scattered in different ways, but they're there. Five words. And make them your own. Pray them through. And teach them to others that they will benefit from it too.